We Were Warriors by Johnny Mercer. Read by Finlay Robertson. Prologue. Nadi Ali, Helmand Province, 2010. I took a brief moment to rest. I knew it would be short-lived. The enemy were close, and it wouldn't be long before we would be in action again. Holding my rifle by my side, I gulped as much water down my throat as I could, spilling most of it down my front in the process. The temperature was unbearable, 40 degrees, and I was sweating so much that my body felt lubricated, as if covered in oil. I constantly shuffled the two radios, spare ammunition, spare batteries and water in my rucksack to allow the air to get up under my shirt, albeit briefly. I glanced at my watch. We'd been on the move for 4 hours now. I was going to have to change my radio batteries soon. It was late summer 2010. The previous year alone had seen 108 British servicemen killed in this sweaty, stinking, blood-soaked acreage. We were on 88, and it wasn't even the end of August. Joint UK-US operations in the spring had cleared a lot of enemy from key districts round Marja, but also squeezed many of them up to northern Nadi Ali, where I was now plying my trade for the third time in 4 years. Firefights can be long or short, ferocious or rather quiet. Sometimes they just become a deadly game of cat and mouse. Today was like that. We moved slowly, carefully, avoiding obvious ambushes and channels for IEDs, improvised explosive devices. After a few hours like that, the senses dull, but I could still hear my pulse in my ears as the hairs on the back of my neck began to rise again. I knew we were approaching the climax of this patrol. I leant against the forward edge of a ditch and peered through the grass along the lip. I could see across the field, straight to the compound that lay between us and our patrol base. The high mud walls of the compound enclosed a simple square building that peaked over the top. It was quiet. Bullet holes around a small aperture in the wall marked the location as a previous Taliban firing point, also known as a murder hole. It was perfect for the enemy. Just big enough to aim a rifle through, looking directly over our patrol base, with an easy escape route into a tree line and another crop of compounds to the rear. They used these holes to pour murderous machine gun fire onto our patrol base. I should have destroyed the compound months ago. 2 500-pound bombs would do it, or a couple of guided rockets. Last time I attempted it, we waited for 6 hours in this ditch, while battalion headquarters worked out the environmental impact of me turning it into dust. What would happen to the watercourses? How would the trees recover afterwards? British soldiers' lives were tumbling down priority lists out here. I rubbed my eyes. The fucking sweat always blurred your vision after a while. Looking at my watch, I worked out it would have been 7:10 in the UK. Families would be waking up, getting ready for school. The morning commute would be well underway, trains packed out and roads jammed, all listening to the Today programme on Radio 4, Nicky Campbell on Radio 5, or even Chris Moyles on Radio 1. All the suits, picking up their coffees. I could have been one of them. But for some reason, I chose this instead. I glanced left along the patrol group. I was the tail end Charlie, the last guy. The section commander was looking at me. He was a young lad, bright, engaging and determined. We'd been intercepting the Taliban's radio comms and knew they'd been tracking us for more than 2 hours now. "Are you pushing through it?" I asked him. "Roger, boss. What do you reckon?" "I'm happy if you're happy," I lied. There was no real way of bypassing this compound without getting into further trouble. We knew the enemy was very likely to be inside. In this crazy fucking war, we were about to advance across open ground, no doubt containing IEDs, towards a murder hole in a compound that was almost definitely going to fire on us. We'd been patrolling out twice a day, every day, for 4 months now, trying to create space for peace to take hold, and every day the Taliban had told us to go away, in their own inimitable style, with their AK-47s.